You're with Sally Warhaft.
I know if you're listening, we all really know our guilty pleasures. And hello, Josh Nelson, film critic and blogger from filmology.com. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sally.
I have remembered mine, actually. It just came to me.
Okay.
I knew that it was sitting up with what's the film that I feel most guilty about, that I most enjoy, and that I would never go more than 12 months without watching.
Okay.
And if it's on, I have to see it. Grease.
Oh, right.
That fits, doesn't it?
That does fit. It fits nicely.
I know it does, because the people in the producing here just look appalled.
No, I've danced into a cinema to Grease. So there you go. There's the first of many confessions for this afternoon.
What's yours?
Mine is Rambo First Blood Part 2.
I mean, Grease is positively spiritual in comparison to that.
Even though I know that politically and morally, Rambo First Blood Part 2 is probably not the greatest film ever made. In terms of that guilty pleasure, it's second to none.
I like the way, well, it is. It's second to Rambo Part 1, Josh.
And well, exactly.
I want to know why that didn't get you. You've singled out the sequel.
First Blood is a serious film. And I think people who knock Stallone as an actor or a writer or a director probably should go back and watch First Blood, because his performance in that is really great, particularly that final scene. He nails it. The second one is in the midst of Reagan male hysteria, with this sort of the pumped up steroid body kind of reaction to Vietnam and to the crisis of masculinity that happened in the late 70s. And that's what makes it so joyous, because it's a pantomime of masculinity. Well, that's how I justify it watching it.
People are wanting to fess up their guilty pleasures. We've got texts. Well, hello, Sally. My sister and I are doubly guilty. Bridges of Madison County and Message in a Bottle. Oh, and The Bodyguard too, of course. Thank you, Diane. And Ants texted in Beverly Hills Cop 1, 2 and 3 or anything with Eddie Murphy. And oh, my shame, my guilty pleasure is Home and Away, but that's TV, isn't it?
It is TV. We don't do TV here.
No, we don't. But that's okay. Jenny has phoned in from Crampton with a guilty pleasure. Hello, Jenny.
Hi there. I love Fatal Attraction as my guilty pleasure.
Yeah, I'm very impressed that you actually rang us to tell us that, because that is up there with Grease, isn't it?
It is.
What is it about it, Jenny, and what is it that produces the guilt?
I love how you watch the relationship and how Glenn Close just gets so obsessed and just go, wow.
It fits the bill, doesn't it, Josh?
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. But, well, I think for me, Fatal Attraction fits in the guilty pleasure, because it's pretty nasty to women, that film. It sort of says women have to fit into that Madonna whore sort of complex, or else.
So is Grease, actually.
Well, actually, that's a good point. Maybe she does get some chutzpah and some agency back, the transformation of the kind of the candy girl into the sexually empowered woman in the end.
I mean, I don't want to go too serious on Grease or anything in
it's Filmology,
Friday
let's do
festive
it.
Film segment, but it's the woman in the end who changes, isn't it? He kind of offers to. He wears a sort of pathetic blazer for 2 minutes.
Well, he becomes slightly emasculated.
It is poor Olivia. It's Sandy who has to become the cool one.
Or maybe it's just the underlying woman, hear me roar, finally comes out, that she's been hiding behind the masquerade of the passive femininity.
Now, you've seen a couple of films
this week.
Are either of them headed for the guilty treasure trove?
Absolutely. The first one that I wanted to talk about today, which is probably the reason why we've picked this as the segment this week, Bad Grandpa, which is the film from the Jackass boys, Johnny Knoxville, whose original name I only just discovered is Philip John Clapp, so you can understand why he'd change that name. Jeff Tremaine and Spike Jonze, who are both involved with this crew right back through the days when this actually was a TV show. So Bad Grandpa is basically a character that came out of the films and the early TV show, where Johnny Knoxville dresses up as an 86-year-old man by the name of Irving Zisman and basically gets himself into trouble. And they've tried to meld the candid camera style approach that we see in the earlier films and the TV in a road movie genre film, where he takes his grandson cross country to meet his bum of a father to reunite them.
Let's have a little listen to a grab from Bad Grandpa.
You're going to take that child away from you.
I'm sorry.
You are sorry. You're sorry as hell.
You're very pretty when you're mad.
You're pissing me off.
Thank you for being here today.
What's your stripper's stage name? I look like a stripper?
I'll just call you Cinnamon.
Want to have some fun?
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
It's awesome, I think was
is
the word.
Is it awesome?
It's a lot of fun. Look, the struggle with this film, and it took me a little while to get into the tone, is that it is that balance between a structured narrative, so they've scripted scenes and they've scripted moments, and then the rest of it is they've created scenarios in order to get the candid camera reaction shots, like, you know, going into strip bars, shoplifting. There's lots of scatological humour in here. Lots of sex jokes. So it's probably got a niche audience, and I think I'm definitely within this demographic, perhaps. This fits within my guilty pleasure. But it's a really nice balance. And given that there's so few decent comedies that have been released this year, one of the only few we talked about a couple of weeks ago was the Alan Partridge film. This one has that nice balance of awkward humour and a kind of narrative that's sharp, that's punchy and economic. The problem with most American comedies over the last couple of years is they're just too long. They've emerged out of that improvisational scene and they go for 2.5 hours. You know, the 40-year-old virgin guy and that sort of crew. This is a problem we see time and again. This is 90 minutes. It's punchy. And I think Johnny Knoxville gets to show off some of his talent as an actor and an improviser towards the end, where he takes this, you know, the grandson, who's actually a delight, to a biker bar. And he has this teary farewell he delivers to the son or the grandson as he's about to hand him back over to the father. And he nails it. And you can see the other people in the bar getting noticeably moved by this. So it is that sort of tension between, you know, it's fake, you know, it's being played for laughs, and yet it works on the level of that sort of, you know, genre narrative road movie film as well.
Oh, Josh, you make it sound very watchable.
It is. And if you haven't seen the trailer, maybe don't watch the trailer, because it is one of those ones that gives away some of the nice jokes that are probably best left as a surprise.
We're getting some gorgeous text messages. Guilty Pleasure is The Princess Bride, Home Alone 1 and 2, 200 minutes of Macaulay Culkin gold. Dee's said Conan the Barbarian, Guilty Pleasure, and Groundhog Day. The Sound of Music is mine, Kate. Hi, Sally. My guilty pleasure is The English Patient. That's too good to be a guilty pleasure. Yeah. That's just a pleasure, isn't it? Titanic, I am not going to say my name. But Nick from Fitzroy North will, and it's without a doubt Ghost.
Yeah, that's a guilty pleasure.
That is, isn't it? Hi, Sally. My guilty pleasure is Flashdance.
Yep, I'll pay that.
I love Rodney Dangerfield. I think I'm the only one, but I can't help it. Easy Money, Back to School, they're all good.
Back to School, definitely. I rewatched that recently. It still holds up as a guilty pleasure.
Oh, how lovely. Tony has dared to call in from Yarra Valley. Hello, Tony.
How are you going?
Very well. What's your guilty pleasure?
Steel Magnolias.
Oh, that fits.
I'm sort of like, the alpha male, and I actually teared up when Julia Roberts died in that. But it's just a great, great film.
Oh, Tony, tell us more. What do you love about it?
Oh, Shirley MacLaine. Yeah, just some of the one-liners in it. And it was just such a well-made film. And it was supposed to be a chick flick, but I was sitting there bawling my eyes out at the end of it.
Tony, that's just the most beautiful call I think I've ever heard. You expressed yourself. The alpha male Tony from Yarra Valley, and he can't watch Steel Magnolia. Do you cry every time you watch it, Tony?
I get really emotional. Yeah, but the first time I saw it, I was teared up big time.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us. It makes me want to see it. I don't think I ever saw Steel Magnolias. Jeremy's phoned in from Moorabbin. What's your
G'day.
Guilty pleasure? Hello, Jeremy.
Top Gun.
Top Gun, it. Tom Cruise.
Yeah, you know, it's dated and it's cheesy and it's cliche these days, but I just love it.
No, cliche, Top Gun.
Oh.
Are you feeling it, Jeremy?
Oh, it's awesome. I feel the need to see it. Are
you soaring? Are you flying high? What's her name? What's the girl's name? Kelly.
Kelly McGillis,
yeah.
Oh, it was an awfully good movie, wasn't it?
It is. It still is. A Harold Faltermeyer's theme. And then we should rock in with a bit of Kenny Loggins. I love the 80s. The 80s hair. Also, the volleyball scene. I wonder if that's the guilty pleasure.
Yeah. Jeremy, thank you for that. 1300-222-774 if you'd like to. Well, it's the Film Friday confessional, really.
It is.
What are some of your other favourites, Josh?
Oh, this is a tough question. I think anything with Arnold Schwarzenegger. you know, these are the films when you know, it's Friday or Saturday night, you've got a sea of DVDs in front of you and you can't make a decision, so you fall back on the old reliables like Commando or Running Man, Total Recall, anything with those one-liners.
You're with Sally Warhaft.
And I'm with Josh Nelson, and we're talking films, and, well, we're specifically talking guilty pleasures, and, well, perhaps it's been spurred on by Tony calling up and confessing to his Steel Magnolias alpha male brings him to tears pleasure. We've got a few of you guys are, well, you're opening right up. There is no need to be guilty about Top Gun, greatest film of all time, says Bill. Someone else has said, did anyone say Footloose? And Heath, I love this one. Love Actually. I have to pretend to watch it in sufferance with my wife, but I actually love it myself.
Nice.
Oh, that is lovely. I will get to your calls in a moment, but I have to ask if the other film you've seen this week, Josh, which is, a documentary about Lygon Street, doesn't sound like it's really a guilty pleasure candidate, although sometimes going to Lygon Street can end up a very guilty pleasure.
Particularly in the culinary sense of
that's
the word.
That's right. Well, only, really.
Well, yeah,
you know,
I guess
that sort of too many gelatis or bigger bowl of pasta.
Knocked down a few espressos, highly caffeinated.
Bit of Italian wine.
This is not a guilty pleasure film. The film is called Lygon Street, Si Parla Italiano, and it's only playing quite aptly at Cinema Nova in Carlton. It's a documentary. Look, I looked at a documentary last week in Bob We Trust, the documentary that just came out about Father Bob Maguire. So this is another Melbourne-based documentary, and I think it really reinforces the importance of a vibrant kind of local film scene, particularly in the documentary sense, because these are important stories, and I think it's really nice to have stories about your own sort of backyard. I mean, that's a really awful sort of phrase, but your own backyard.
Yeah, of course.
But this is a really important documentary and a really well-made one too. So it traces, I guess, the Italian migrants from the 50s who established, you know, I guess, you know, the little Italy of Melbourne through the sort of the 60s and so on. It doesn't hold back. It looks at a lot of the racism of the early days, the struggles of the detention centre. And, you know, I think this is one of the things that recommends this film is that we see a number of contemporary parallels.
Let's have a little listen to this excerpt from the Lygon Street doco.
Come ha trovato l'Australia?
Faceva schifo, insomma, lo ho trovato.
Carlton, with its hub of Lygon Street, was serving as the first port of call from people who arrived off the ship.
It was a meeting place where the Italian felt safe.
Oh, how charming. Is it, is it a substantial film, Josh?
Yeah, it is, and it's really polished in its execution too. So we get mainly chronological look through the 60s, 70s, through, I guess, the threats to... There's a lot of stuff here I didn't know. And being a Northsider, I pass through Lygon Street on a daily basis. But, look, I didn't know that originally that whole sort of strip from, you know, Elgin Street right down to Grattan Street and beyond was earmarked for commission housing, and it was only after a sort of a fight that it got pushed back sort of further down Lygon Street. So,
well, in fact, and before that, Lygon Street, of course, the first community to really adopt Lygon Street as their own were the Jewish community in
Melbourne.
Before there was a synagogue there. There may even still be one. I'm not sure if it's open, but the Jewish community moved more to Caulfield and East St Kilda and so on, and the Italians moved in and made it their own. But it's those layers, isn't it? Layers upon layers of wonderful migrant history.
Yeah, particularly in terms of food. And look, there's a lot of humour in this film. There's lots of jokes about I was the first person to bring the espresso machine home, you know, from the homeland, and then someone else says, no, actually I was, and I was the first person to make a pizza on Lygon Street.
Oh, first Piadina and the first this and yeah.
So there's lots of kind of joy in that. And then it traces it to sort of more, well, I guess through the 80s, in a couple of incidents again that I didn't know about that there's a great use of archival footage and photographs. The celebrations from the Australia Cup in 83, which got out of hand and someone died And, you know, this was quite awful. And then we get the balance of the 82 Italian winning the World Cup celebrations and that nice contrast. And I guess this idea of it really became quite a significant hub for cultural celebration through the Festa and so on. And it even looks at sort of contemporary gentrification, the fact that we had these sort of franchise bars from the US move in, and then thankfully most of them have moved out again. But
look, well, there's that contemporary gentrification, but there's also just the sort of touristy nature of Lygon Street, the intensity of that. I really enjoy going up for the Lygon Street Festival once a year. That's always terrific fun.
Yeah, look, and it's narrated by Anthony LaPaglia, so it has a sort of a homegrown, with a slightly curious accent mixed in there as well. Look, yeah, this is great. It's a shame it is only playing at one cinema, but I think it's setting it in that cultural hub is quite apt. And look, this is something that if you saw it in a museum. And, you know, when you sort of sit down for it, you think, I'll sit down and watch 5 or 6 minutes of this. You would sit through the whole thing because it is that kind of captivating. It is really sort of polished in terms of its execution. And it's an important film. I think we need more sort of, you know, historical documentaries like this.
Si Parla Italiano on at the Cinema Nova at the moment. Dave has phoned up from the Yarra Valley. Back to your guilty pleasures, Dave.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Up. Hello.
Hello.
What is it?
Austin Powers.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't... There's supposed to be a new one out.
The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Yeah, it's a new one. They were going to make a new one, and I haven't heard anything about it.
Well, you can let us know, because it sounds like you'll be the first to know. And do you watch it over...
I have two?
Yes.
Prisoner, Cell Block H.
yeah, that's dreadful.
Isn't it dreadful? When I was... a child, you know, watching it on... Oh, we were never allowed to watch it on TV, so I guess that's sort of why I watch it now.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Dave. And, the text messages are quite sensational. Point Break is my guilty pleasure. Patrick Swayze's hair deserved an Academy Award. Thanks, Matt. And John, it's Predator. If it bleeds, we can kill it. And Brett, guilty pleasures. Early John Cusack, One Crazy Summer, Better Off Dead, The Sure Thing. And Grant from Forest Hill, hi Sally, amateurs. Guilty pleasure of mine is Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah, Grant, I'm with you there.
That's pretty good.
That's a special, isn't it? Actually, that'd be kind of one of mine as well. I think if I was unwell and rugged up in bed and that was on, I'd have to watch it.
So that and Blues Brothers, they fit into that guilty pleasure / cult.
Oh, I don't know. Blues Brothers kind of just makes me... It's just gone. It's so guilty, it's sort of creepy.
I love it.
Do you?
Yeah.
I love your work, Josh Nelson.
Pleasure.
A very guilty pleasure. Resident film critic for Drive. His blog is filmology.com. You must check it out. And Josh, you'll be back next week?
No, actually, I'll be heading to North America next week.
Oh.
I'll be covering the Cronenberg exhibition, but I'll be back towards the end of the year.
Well, great to see you today.
Likewise.
Thank you, Josh.